everybody, and welcome back to the Lifting You Higher podcast. I'm Jessica, joined as always by my beautiful co-host.
Yes, Brenda.
And we're so excited to have you join us today, whether you're listening or watching our beautiful faces on YouTube.
Yes.
You know, either one. But today, we are going to be talking about how to avoid your peace stealers. They shouldn't be stealing your peace, but how you have peace of mind and how you can keep that or get it back if you've lost it.
That's right. That's right. And and before we start, I want to say hello to our Canadian listeners.
Yeah.
Because I think that that's the new country we're hitting.
Yeah.
So we're all excited about that. we're still happy with it. Everybody in Europe, but we're just so happy about the Canada.
Yay. Woo, hello.
So our friends to the north.
Yes.
And what will we do without Canadian bacon?
I know. Well,
I know Jennifer is a Jessica. I'm sorry. What's your name again?
You haven't called me Jennifer in a long time.
I know. Because I was thinking about food. That's why I messed up your name.
That's okay.
I was thinking Jessica's a vegetarian and I'm a vegetarian that likes to eat meat.
Yes. She's a vegetarian that eats bacon.
Yeah. There you go. Sorry.
Anyway.
So today we're talking, we got way off track. I'm sorry, that was my fault. Today we're going to talk about the peace stealers, because I think people so underrate having peace in your life, mm-hmm. peace in your mind, peace in your atmosphere, where you live, where you work. It is so powerful to have. And I think people just underrate it all the time. And then of course the world doesn't help You know, they're throwing iPads in front of our kids, conditioning them to think they have to have activity 24/7. Mm-hmm. And then we as adults are just as bad, constantly having our face in our iPhones or Androids, whatever they are you have. In fact, I was on Facebook, you know, so I'm guilty. But I was on Facebook and a woman was talking about how much fun she had had out to lunch with a bunch of her friends.
Oh.
And she had taken a picture of it. And guess what they were all doing? And she had snapped the picture while nobody was paying attention. And guess what they were all doing?
On their phones.
They were all on their phones. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, that's...
How did you have fun when nobody is talking to each other?
Everybody was on their phones and you're taking a picture of them on their phone, but you're talking about how much fun you had. But, I mean, I don't know what happened before the picture was taken or afterwards, but it was just like, this is just a testimony of how we constantly have our brains running and don't have peace, and we specifically don't have peace of mind.
Yeah.
So that's what I just want to get on my soapbox about today is we've got to get the peace back.
Yes.
So go take it away, Jessica. Do your thing.
It's definitions with Jess. I'm just kidding.
We should have like music where it goes ding,
ding, ding. I might put that back in there. We'll see. But, you know, when we're talking about peace, I feel like we have one idea of what peace is and what it might be different than what the actual meaning of peace is.
Go for it.
So the Hebrew word we should know for peace, what is translated to peace, is shalom.
Right.
Okay. So the term...
And that's how we greet each other. Shalom,
yes,
my friend.
Shalom, shalom. Perfect peace is twice. All right. Anyway, so the term peace used in the New Testament, so it's used five different ways.
Okay.
So first, peace as in like absence of war or chaos, which we kind of think. Okay.
Prevalent today.
Yes. And then second is, which I like, which is really the definition of shalom, is peace as a right relationship with God, with Christ.
Yes.
So like we have a perfect relation. We have a right relationship with God.
Right.
That's shalom. That's peace. And then three is a peace as a good relationship among people.
Yep.
Peace as a individual virtue or state, tranquility. I think that's what a lot of people think of, like peace, tranquil state. No. It is partly that. And then also peace as a part of a greeting. So like the culture, if you know the culture of the Bible, they would greet each other with shalom. Sometimes shalom, shalom, if they were close, meaning perfect peace when you say it twice. So.
And to tell you the truth, that's not the only culture that does that way of greeting with that. So, yes. So we want all five versions.
Yes.
Of what peace can be. And the Bible talks about these types of pieces. And you know, the first one it gives us is Psalms 29:1, where it says, "Lord blesses his people with peace." So mm-hmm. he wants us to have peace.
Yes.
Too. In fact, it's a blessing that we should eagerly seek.
Mm-hmm.
And then Isaiah 54:13 says, All your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace." That scripture is specifically from the chapter where it talks about the barren woman.
Oh, yeah.
Where it says one of the blessings you're going to have mm-hmm. is that your children will always be in peace.
Yeah.
Oh, how powerful is that?
Wow.
I mean, I don't have kids, but if I had kids, I'd want them to be in peace all the time.
Yeah.
Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you," and you being God. And then 2 Thessalonians 3:16 is, "How may the Lord of peace himself give peace at all times." I'm sorry, let me start over again. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give yes. peace at all times and in every way." And then you have one that you really liked.
Yeah, this when I think of peace, this is what I think of. And it's in John 14, it's verse 27, it's Jesus speaking. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." So Jesus is giving them his peace.
Yes.
That's, yeah. "I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I think it's such a great verse. Lots of meat in there.
That's right. And in fact, I can't pass by one piece. I think this peace I give you, not as the world gives, because the world likes to talk to you about Eastern mysticism, you know, like if you mm-hmm. chant or do yoga or something like that, you'll find your inner peace.
Yeah.
And no. I'm like, that is not God. No. That's not the type of peace Jesus was talking about.
No.
And so, yeah. So the big question is, how do we slip out of that peace of mind that he wants us to always walk in? You know, like, what are the banana peels of the world that are trying to steal our peace? And the first big scripture you have to really address, and that is 1 Corinthians 2:13-16.
Yeah.
That says, "I give you my Christ mind," and so we have the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of operating in the mind of Christ that was given to us through Jesus, I think first about the fact that, you know, salvation is a big giant purse, and mm-hmm. in that is the mind of Christ. One of those things in that big giant purse is the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
And so it's not our mind, it's his mind. How do we operate it? It's a spiritual thing. And I think about how, you know, when Jesus was then trying to explain it to Nicodemus, when he was trying to explain salvation to Nicodemus, Nicodemus goes, "You know, I'm an old man. My mother has been long gone. I can't crawl up into a room and come out again. What are you talking about?" And Jesus is like, "I'm talking about spiritual things here,
yes.
not natural." And yes. so the mind of Christ is a spiritual thing, and peace is part of that mind of Christ. So we can't manufacture it out of our soul, mm-hmm. which is our mind, will, and emotions. That's of the world, and it will never bring us lasting peace or satisfying peace. Peace comes from a spiritual point of view, and then it takes over your mm-hmm. natural mind. And that's how we operate in the mind of Christ. And so that's what 1 Corinthians 2:13 means to me, is that's how through 16 is that's how we operate in the mm-hmm. mind of Christ. Is it's, you got to shift out of your soul and into your spirit woman, and then you operate in the peace. Does that kind of,
yeah, that makes sense. I mean, and also it just reminds me, like, if your thought life is not of Christ, the word says to take every thought captive. So if you're having those negative self-talk thoughts, mm-hmm. or just negative thoughts in general, maybe it's time you take them captive so that you can have the mind of Christ and have that peace.
Yes, exactly right. In fact, I have two examples, but I must add a third too. It's also, what are you feeding your soul mind?
Mm-hmm.
Because is your soul mind the bully?
Yeah.
And it's bullying your spirit. You know, is it overshadowing your spirit because it's just getting fed more
mm-hmm.
than you're feeding your spirit? And that's another concept to just kind of toss around too. So I like to think that there is, like, how do we slip out of the mind of Christ? Kind of like, you know, a banana peel, because, you know, things happen. You know, the world is corrupt, and it's out to kind of distract us from doing the things of God. So how do we, like, slip out of that mind, peace of mind?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first way we do it is we do it to ourselves.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we like to say, the devil's after
me. The devil is, no.
But lots of times we just sabotage ourselves
yes.
to take us out of our peace. And there's lots of many ways, but I just kind of picked my top three pet peeves of how we slip out of the mind crisis. Okay. The first way that we sleep, I think we slip out of the peace of mind, is that we don't put to rest our guilty feelings of things that we've done in our past that we have to remind ourselves that we've been forgiven for. I mean, I'm assuming you've asked for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so, you know, whether that comes before you knew Christ or comes after Christ, because we've all fall short of the glory, we all mess up. And so it's this guilty unforgiveness, icky feeling that we have to address, you know, with the fact that, you know, I repented for that. You know, I've repented it for 100 times. It is over, taken captive of those thoughts, like you said, and said, you know, I am forgiven. Stop it. You're not going to rob my peace.
Yeah.
I have been forgiven. That's covered under the blood of Jesus. I move on.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, because the enemy will bring up your past and make you feel like, well, God, did you not forgive me for this? Like, and make you repent over and over. But when you repent, that's it. You're done. It's thrown in the lake of forgetfulness.
That's right. And Galatians 4:7 and Hebrews 11:6 are good scriptures to kind of look at if you're struggling with that. Because I do know a lot of people, especially, you know, sometimes I chat with women that have children, you know, and you're like, I probably screwed them up, you know, did I, you know, by what I said or I did. And I was like, listen, did you repent? Yes. Okay. Then stop it.
Yeah.
You know, let it go. Or, you know, even if you had a past life that was, you know, ruckus, you know, that, you know, you got to remember that's covered. Stop letting it come back up on you.
Yes.
To steal your peace, because it is under the blood.
Yes.
And then another one that really, one of peacemaker of mine is someone that, and you have to go to Proverbs 6:19 to look at that in the King James Version. Let's go, because they say it. It says so well in the King James Version. And that is people, or when you find yourself doing this, being a sower of discord among the brethren. And that basically is a gossip. It's someone that tells tales on other people.
Yeah.
You know, that is trying to slander other people, whether what you're saying is true or not, you know. when you're just that type of a, that is a real bad thing to do. In fact, I think in Proverbs it lists several things that God truly finds offensive. And gossip is one of them.
Yeah.
So, and the funny thing is this. Well, I don't know if it's funny, but the interesting, let me put it this way. The interesting thing about that is not only are you robbing someone else of their peace, but you're stabbing yourself in the foot here.
Yeah.
Because when you do it, you're stealing your peace. Because there's no peace in that. When you are slandering other people, when you are gossiping, when you are, you know, trying to sow division among people, you know, like, let's just not talk to her anymore. Because, you know, I know women, we do that. I know, you know, I don't know what the deal is with that, but whatever. You know, it's back in the garden, we thank Eve for it. But anyway, when we do that, you're robbing yourself of peace because your spirit woman is just like, oh no, here she goes again. And there goes a little peace of mind right there down the road and around the corner. It's gone.
Yeah. I mean, we're going back to middle school, like our middle school mindset, you know, like I've worked with middle school girls for a very long time, and that's what they do. I mean, they don't realize it's stealing their peace.
It's that clickish thing of
yes, but they're like, ooh, I know some, they call it tea, but oh, I know something about this person, so I'm gonna say, guess what, I know what you did, or like, let's not talk to them, they did X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. I mean, not, so we're just going back to our middle school mindset. Like, why? Why do that?
Because our flesh likes it.
Well, of course, but...
But then, in liking it, it robs us of peace.
Right.
You know, it's...
But if you're grounded in the Word and you have a deep relationship with the Lord, I think you can snap that out, you know? Like, nip it in the bud quick.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, and you know, I'll tell you what. This is a true story about me. If I had a dime for every time I mean, because so I've been living for Christ for 30, well, actually this March, it'll be 34 years. Oh. So it's been a long time. But if I had a dime for every, I swear there's probably about 10 years of my life that God would say to me, Brenda, that's none of your business. Mm. And I would be like, if I had a dime for every time he said that to me, I would be like, you know, we're talking Bill Gates money.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, be wealthy, because it was just something God had to get out of me. It's like, you know, that's none of your business, Brenda. That's mm-hmm. just none of your business.
Yeah.
And so I would just have to like, and it was something that really had to work out. And I think that's where it enters us. And then we want to talk about it. And mm-hmm. now we're sowing discord because we've got to find a pair of ears to talk to about it.
Yeah, I gotta tell somebody about this.
It's no good if you can't share it. And so, and then out there, like a little bird, there goes your piece, mm-hmm. just flying away.
Yep.
And so, yeah, so that's.
But I mean, I think your next point is critical judgment. And I think that leads, when you don't nip that in the bud, it leads us down the road to being critical. And
to being sowing discord. Yeah. Yeah. So that was number three is, she's right. Number three is that critical judging spirit is, that'll rob your peace. Again, it's a, you think you're talking about someone else, mm-hmm. but really it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
You're just cutting at yourself, mm-hmm. cutting away your peace of mind, because now it's like, and if you look at Romans 12, 3 through 7 and Matthew 7, 1 through 5, and it tells you straight there, you know, that when you do that, you're robbing yourself mm-hmm. of peace. And so, you know, just don't do it. And, yeah. And you know, these are things that I think God has had to work on me about, mm-hmm. you know, over the millennial years that I've been on the planet. And so, but once God kind of brings you out of that, mm-hmm. you then see it in other people and you're like, want to run the other direction. Cause you're like, I'm getting out, you know, do the little Fred Flintstone thing, you know,
yeah.
you know, get out, because you're like, I know that. And I don't want to have to learn that lesson again,
yes.
you know, or I don't want to, you know, have to listen to the Holy Spirit say, Brenda, that's none of your business. Brenda, that's none of your business.
None of your business.
None of your business. And so it's, and to get that enlightenment that's when actually number two and number three come in.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's when you start poking your nose
yep.
into somebody else's business, basically.
Yeah. Because what good is that information going to do for you?
Right.
It's not, you don't need it.
Right.
That is just going to be a temptation later on to say, oh, guess what? So and so and so and so is doing, you know, like nobody needs to, it's none of your business.
And you know, I'm gonna tell this story. I'm gonna edit it so that the guilty will not. But many years ago, I was at a church, and I knew a church member had done something unethical in the church, and I was like, "Oh, great!" And I had seen this person do it, and it was at an event, and I was like, "Crap! Now I have this information. What do I do with it?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Well, I need to tell the leadership because they need to be aware, because you're a watchman on the tower."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, in fact, that's what God really gave me, is like, you're a watchman on the tower because I've called you to be at this church. If something, you know, happened that could be later on, maybe they'd be in a position where it could really damage the church.
Yeah.
So I went to the leadership to tell, which I felt that's what I was supposed to do by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, so here's, I know this person and they did something very unethical. Do you want to know about it? And they said, well, did they do it inside the church or did they do it outside the church? And I said, they did it inside the church. And they said, okay, then. And the associate pastor looked at me and said, what if I had said, I don't want to know about it? What would you do?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, then I would not tell you. And they said, really? You wouldn't tell? I said, no, because the fear of God of that was so on me that I thought if I even let a little drop come out of my mouth that I don't even know. I mean, I'm talking like Ananias and, you know,
oh.
I mean, I was just like, that's how present the Lord was about, yeah. Don't be spreading that gossip, mm-hmm. even though it's true. And but you do have to report it. And mm-hmm. so, I mean, it was like real fear of God kind of on me. And I said, well, if you said you didn't want to know, then that's all. I just walk away and go on with my life. And it's as if it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I said, because I'm not getting into, I don't want to face the consequences of that.
Yeah.
And so they were like, okay, well, we do need to know since it was inside the church, because we need to be, you know, mm-hmm. aware of, you know, if, you know, what type of person we're working with, yeah. you know, and whether or not this person would, you know, be put in leadership or whatnot. And so I shared it with them. But I'm just telling you, that was like a hallmark in my life, because I was like,
yeah,
you know, and I never told anybody about what that situation was, what happened. It's been, oh my goodness, probably 18 years ago.
Wow.
So it was a very long time ago. And I'll take that sucker to my grave.
Yeah.
Because it, but had I talked about it outside, mm-hmm. it would rob me of peace. Mm-hmm. It would have robbed my reputation.
Yep.
I mean, it's just how that number two and number three can really, really steal you. It's not good.
Yeah.
So that's the first way we lose it, is because we just do it ourselves to mm-hmm. ourselves. That's how we lose peace. And then the second way we lose peace is we are truly under demonic attack. I mean, we have an enemy that wants to destroy us.
Yes.
That's true. It. But, you know, we know that because of what John 10:10 says, is that, you know, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy us. Mm-hmm. That's his job. He has 1/3 of the angels to do it. So he's not everywhere. I mean, yeah. we have a bigger team.
Mm-hmm.
they are out there trying to cause us trouble. And one of my favorite scriptures, and I'm going to read it, 1 John 4:4, and I'm sorry, I don't have it memorized, so I feel like my teachers are looking at me like, really, you don't have that memorized yet? So John 4:4 says, says, you dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I leave out words of this scripture. That's why I wanted to read every word of it. So he who is in us is greater than he is in the world. So yes, you can be under demonic attack to have your peace stolen. But remember, the one inside me is greater than the knucklehead, the forever loser out in the world.
Yeah, that's good.
So anyway. So that's it. And then, of course, we know the answer to everything comes from Philippians 4:6-7, which, do you want me to read that one?
Yeah, let's read it.
Okay.
Why not?
Because, again, printer doesn't have it all memorized. Someday. So I had to fill out a application for a program, and it said, what's the thing you need to work on the most?
Aww.
And I said, scripture memorization. So let's just be honest about it.
That's fine.
So Philippians 4:6 says, and you probably already know this, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, mm-hmm. will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So that's what we have, the promise. Yeah. Philippians 4:6-7.
Yep.
Please remember that scripture. Write it down. Memorize it. Don't be like me and have to go back and look at it. But anyway, yes. So...
Well, thank you guys so much for listening or watching. And we're just so blessed to have you with us. And just remember, as always, that you are loved. You are beautiful inside and out. You have a purpose, and God has a plan for your life. You are needed. And we just pray a blessing over each of you. Stay safe, and we'll see you again soon.